Well, you know what? We went to Nicaragua as a whole family. Lucia's whole side of the family, there's like 17 of us, went to Nicaragua. We were staying in the Intercontinental Hotel, and I went down there with my boys and my nephew Michael, and I said, "Watch this," and I did a backflip, and I tell you, I about did a half belly flop on the way in. And I thought, I don't know that I'll ever do another backflip again either. I didn't sprain my ankle or break it. I think I sprained my stomach and my belly button on that one. So anyway, men just got to act like they got to impress somebody, don't they? Well, anyway, we're going to talk this morning. We're going to continue on pressing in. I want to talk about the place of habitation. And it's a message. Go to Psalm 26 and 8 that I think this message is going to encourage you. And I encourage you to press in to the Holy Spirit. But in chapter 26 and verse 8, it says, "Lord," do you ever cry out and say, "Lord," like that? Well, I tell you what, it's a good thing to do. But this word here in this scripture says, "Lord, I have loved the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells." You know what I can't understand? Is why anybody wouldn't want to be in the house of God, whether you call it a certain church name or whatever, but it's a place where people come together to worship the Lord and to invite His presence to be manifested. See, He is there when I'm driving in my vehicle and I have Christian music on and I'm calling out to Him and I'm praying, and you know what? He's there. I feel His presence. He's here when I'm by myself walking around praying. I feel His presence. I was praying out this morning. I turned the corner up here and I look and Philip was back there. I said, "Oh, man, you snuck up on me, didn't you?" But I like to pray out in the Spirit and I just cry out to the Lord. And, you know, sometimes you feel a little, you know, what would I say? A little sheepish when somebody kind of hears you getting wild before the Lord. But anyway, He caught me this morning getting kind of loud, and it was okay. Philip's an all right guy. He probably would have got wild with me if I'd invited him to. You know. In fact, everybody just shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes. There, we can get a little wild together. Hallelujah means to praise the Lord. You know, so that's a good thing. But David said, "Lord, I love your habitation. I love the habitation of your house. I love to come to church because I get to join with other believers." You see, I love it. I don't see Brother Dennis today. Is he a little under the weather too? Well, he's one of those that we're praying for. Dennis, if you're watching, we just speak words of healing to you right now in Jesus Christ's name. He's one that operates in the supernatural, and he sees angels. And he'll see angels a lot of times standing around ministering with us and standing behind us. And Tim, he heard the angels singing a couple of different times. He knew it wasn't us because it sounded too good. You know? Anyway, different ones tune in, and the Holy Spirit speaks. I hear the Holy Spirit talk to me, you know, in my mind. I say my mind, in my heart, but my mind. You receive it through your mind, you know, but when you're pressing in with your whole being, God will spring up inside of you and He'll talk to you. And that's why David, he said, "I love the habitation of your house." He loved the temple of God. You know, in fact, he made what we call the tabernacle of David, you know, when the ark was gone, and he brought that ark back, and they would only walk so many steps. What was it, 7 steps, 8 steps? And then they would stop, and he would worship and dance before the Lord. And then they would come a few more steps, because when they brought it out of Obed-Edom, the one Uzzah tried to steady the ark because they were bringing it on a cart instead of by the way the law had taught them, you know, to carry it. Priest carried it on rods upon their shoulders. Well, Uzzah tried to stop it from falling over, and he was struck dead. you touch the presence of God in a fleshly way with a fleshly mind, you know, God doesn't appreciate it. And in the Old Testament, a lot of things happened. Thank God for Jesus, because he brought his blood that gave us grace and mercy. And we don't get struck dead every other time you're out of whack a little bit. But I appreciate the fact that we can come to the throne of God and get mercy and grace in our time of need. But David learned to worship God. He loved to play the strings. He could play the harp. And harps were all different sizes. You know, like Zach carries his guitar. Well, he's got that Taylor up there. It's a really nice guitar. But then he's got what they call baby Taylor. It's a smaller version. And you can put it in a little travel bag and carry it with you. And I just would almost think that he probably took his travel bag guitar with him. You know, because you just can't borrow a guitar when you're traveling, when you're left-handed. Not everybody has a left-handed guitar. He plays it left-handed. And he can play a right-handed one upside down. This kid, he amazes me. I can't even play it right side up very well. I can strum a few chords. I tried to lead worship on a Wednesday night with my guitar. Preston, back then, when he was coming, he got up there and helped me a little bit, and we led some songs. But then I realized, this is why I'm not the worship leader anymore. I don't play very well, and I sing a lot better when I'm singing harmony with somebody else, and they're leading. But praise the Lord anyway. But David loved to worship. He loved the habitation of the Holy Spirit. Now we know in the New Testament, Paul said, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, remember, David built the tabernacle. It was a temporary place. But he came in, the ark was in the open, and you could dance and worship before the Lord. The Father blessed him to where he wouldn't be wiped out. He didn't have it behind closed doors and all like they did in the temple and the inner place, the Holy of Holies. But he had it right out in the open. God graced him to do that. He had the anointing of a priest and a prophet and a king. He had the trifold anointing. He was anointed out of this world, I mean to tell you. I can't wait to meet him. And he's going to help rule and reign over Jerusalem with the Lord when he returns and establishes kingdom on earth. Glory. But the statement's this. This is the year of revelation and the demonstration of power because of the habitation. Now, when the habitation is here, we're talking about God not having a visitation. A lot of revivals had visitations, and then they ebbed, and the flow slowed down. You know, I thought the Pensacola revival was just fabulous. Man, they had such a move of God there. And then the pastor moved over to another town in Alabama, and a lot of people went with him. And now that building that they have isn't even half full. Probably isn't even a third full. It's like there was a visitation. But, you know, the Lord wants a habitation. He wants a place. I want this place to be where if you come in and nobody else is in here, that you'll feel the presence of Almighty God. Amen. A habitation. And I don't know the ladies in the prayer group. There's just a handful here today. But y'all can nod or say amen or something. Do you feel the presence of God when you walk in this place? Amen, you do. Okay, that's good. In fact, you know, how about, I'm going to put Di on the spot. Come up here for a minute, would you? While she's coming. And Pastor Ken, get the microphone ready. In fact, Sister Tara, and I don't know, Rocky, if you feel like coming up or not. You don't have to. She's got kind of a bum knee. We got to pray. She gets better. Sister Virginia, you want to come? Yeah. Some of them are not here today, like Connie and Sue and different ones. Rocky, if you want to, I'd love for you to, but if not, it's okay.
We'll come back to you.
I'm giving her opportunity. Tell tell us what, you know, you came here because you're Virginia's sister initially.
I came here because the Holy Spirit led me here.
I know, but the connection was Sister Virginia. Okay. What did you feel when you came here? What is it? You know, something drew you. Can you describe? Hold that up there closer.
For the most part.
No, it's not even on.
He said it was on. Yeah.
No. Stand by for station identification. There you go. Yeah, the red stripe.
I came here because the truth is spoken here. And the word is shared here. And there's not many places that do that anymore. And you could feel the Spirit. And I knew the Spirit kept prompting me to come because there's something about to take place and is taking place, not just in this building, but in the city. And we're part of that because we're one body.
Yes.
And so the parts of the body are coming together.
Did you know that's prophetic to this message today?
Yes. Well, you and I are in sync a lot of times on the prophetic. So.
Yeah, okay. But what about Dennis? Can you speak for him, too? What did he feel when he came?
Dennis was on board coming before, but I had to hear from the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And so he, you know, we're two or three, give you the same message. It starts to sink in. But I had to pray and make sure that the timing was right because he gets excited. He's ready to roll. He gets excited.
Now, you've had dreams.
Yes.
About not this building even, other. Like is a bigger building and different
things. We were in an auditorium and the building was big enough. One of the first ones I saw, the building was big enough that there were side entry points to the building. And we were a little bit older.
Well.
But there were times where you were doing ministry and it was large enough that we had a pool of people that were part of the ministry and that you could pull people in at any point in time to share. Yes.
Amen. That's awesome. I'm getting goosebumps. I don't know about you out there. Okay, Sister Tara, won't you share? Yours goes way back now, but tell a little bit.
Well, I came to the radio station because I heard you were coming to town, and that first night you gave the vision. And while that was well and good and big, and I was excited about that, the one thing you said that night that has always stuck with me, and I knew that's why I had not been settled down and taken root in the other churches, the end of your message was the Spirit of Jesus is the testimony of prophecy.
Yes.
Or the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy.
Yes.
And that rang clear in my spirit, and I thought I've never heard that before in any church. And I thought, that's what I've been missing, and that's what I've been trying to get from where I was to this place all these years.
Revelation 19:10.
Yeah. And you and Pastor Ken, you recognized the gift and anointing on me, and it had not really been acknowledged in other churches. And that's when I heard the testimony about the vision. You know, and that one scripture, I was locked down. I knew that I would never leave this place.
Amen. That was like 19 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. And you helped lead our prayer team.
Yeah.
So, and she gets pretty fiery. I don't know if you've heard her pray before. Something comes on her. But it's great. Well, Sister Virginia, won't you share a little something?
Mm-hmm. Well, mine started back when you were headmaster of the Christian school, Southern Missouri Christian
1980s. Late 80s.
The grandchildren had come to live with us, and we thought they needed something more than they could get in the public schools. And so we put them in Southern Missouri Christian School, and he was the headmaster. We loved the feeling of that, the atmosphere. And then when Pastor Kevin left that school, that atmosphere left. Mm. And so we moved them. To Agape then at that point. But then we listened to him on the radio. He came on. I went to work at 9 at that time, and he came on at 8 o'clock. Mm-hmm. And I would hear him coming to work. And so it was, you know, it was like he was a familiar voice. And then I was working in real estate, and he called. I recognized his voice when he called to buy the house they're living in right now. And so anyway, down there was just points down through the years. He came back and forth to the radio station, and we went to several of those. And then when you moved, well, we went even on Broadway. We started the
Cross from Alan Godwin's
mm-hmm.
muffler.
Yeah. We started the classes
mm-hmm.
just for the knowledge, and we would come in and out. We didn't come to church here at that point. And then at one point, the Lord gave me it was like I was seeing a big arrow pointing to when you were on Ridge.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew the Lord was wanting me to connect more. So we came to your prayer things, you know, when you were having them
mm-hmm.
in the mornings, and we came to that. And then after, we were still coming to the prayer things. We weren't coming all the time here. Pastor Kevin asked me at one of them if I wanted to have our women's conference here, and that was after you'd moved into the new building. But the Lord gave me, I was seeing like a busy highway and an on-ramp. And so I knew the Lord wanted us to, we were in ministry already, but I knew the Lord wanted us to connect more from that. And so here we are.
Amen.
The feeling of the house, the feeling of family,
mm-hmm.
Knowing that we have brothers and sisters, no matter what time of day or night, that we can count on.
All right.
But the Spirit of the Lord is here.
Yes. I feel it right now.
Uh-huh. And that's the thing that will draw, is the Spirit of the Lord.
Amen.
I mean, you can have a country club with a lot of nice people, but when the Spirit of the Lord's there, there's something different.
Yes.
Something special.
Yeah.
And that's what I feel here.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Well, I appreciate all y'all sharing. And if you don't have anything else, then you can hand that off to Pastor Ken, and I'll then fill you in on what the Lord showed me to show you today. But there's going to come a demonstration of power even greater. And we see that. I get to testify to everybody. I had to go to the eye doctor. And, you know, I've prayed for now. I've counted 24 blind people over the last 20 years that I've prayed for that have been healed, that their eyes have been opened. And various miracles. And here I am needing to go to the eye doctor because I can't pass my driver's vision test. And he looked at my eyes, and of course he gave me the test, and I passed. I don't know. In the mornings my eyes are a little dry, and so I went too early, and then 3 hours later they were moist and I was seeing a lot better, but they'd already given me the paper. Go see your eye doctor. So I passed at the eye doctor. But then he told me, he says, you have a cataract on each eye. So he said, it's about time to head towards getting those off. And then you'll see much better. But the problem I was having was with my astigmatism. But that is the, you know, conundrum, that here I am with glasses and having to go to the eye doctor, and I pray for blind people and they get healed. You know, we don't understand everything. We can't explain everything. But I know this, out of the presence of the Holy Spirit, things happen. Powerful things happen. And so there is going to be a demonstration of power this year like we have never seen before locally. And it's happening. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. I read it last week, but I'm going to read it again. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Paul knew the power of God was in Jesus Christ because of what He did. He made a way. Paul persecuted Christians, and Jesus confronted him on the road to Damascus. and a bright light shone. Don't you know when Jesus shows up, the bright light comes with him? Hallelujah. I told you the story how I was attacked by a demon in my bed. First year I lived in Florida, 1991, and it choked me. It was trying to kill me. A lot of people die in their sleep. They can't explain it. Well, it could be demonic. Well, because I was close. You know, I was about to pass out, and I just mouthed Jesus. That thing took his hands off my neck, and he had fiery red eyes, looked like skin stripped off of his 8 or 9 foot muscular body. I said, "What is that?" As it walked out of the room, I saw a shadow on the wall, and he walked right through the glass doors into the night. And the Holy Spirit said, "That was the spirit of death who came to try to abort your ministry before your time." And so it went, and I said, "Well, why did it go?" He said, "You said Jesus." I said, "Is that light why the light came?" He said, "Yes, that's why you saw the shadow on the wall. The power of Jesus is so great, and you can depend on him." And supernatural things happen around Jesus. And so I determined not to know anything. I don't need a big education, although I'm educated and I have a degree. You know, I always say a degree is about that much, you know. And 360 go this way. Well, degree. Anyway, I have a degree, and over the years that's opened a few doors for me. But the reality is Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's what you need to know more than anything else. Healing, you'll read it in Ralph's little booklet, you know, about by his stripes we are healed. But healing comes because of Jesus. That's why. So number two, well, let me finish the scriptures here. "I was with you in weakness and fear and much trembling, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." You know, so many people analyze and they try to figure it all out, but the reality is, like Missouri, we Missourians were the show me state. If you show people, it's kind of like, well, that does it. I've seen it. It's real. And people will come to know because of what they see. Well, we're going to see this year. This is the show year. He's going to show you. He's going to show me. He's going to show all of us his reality. Number two statement, when we determine not to know anything except Jesus Christ and him crucified, we will live, habitate in that power. In other words, you don't have to fast 21 days and the power comes back. No, he wants us to get to that place where we're walking in his presence every day. And that power is available at the tip of your tongue. At the mention of Jesus. That name has done a lot. It's helped me cast out demons. It's helped me pray for the sick. It's helped me run off the enemy. Jesus, that just that name is powerful. And I don't take back, some people like to do the messianic Jewish thing, and that's fine if they want to. They say Yeshua instead of Jesus. In Mexico, they don't say Jesus, they say Jesucristo. And in different languages, it's pronounced different ways. But you know what? The Lord knows what his name is in all languages. Since I'm English and American, I say Jesus. And it's amazing how powerful that is when you say it. But when you realize he's not just any old Jesus or any old Jesus, he is the Christ, the power, the Savior, the awesome one, the power of salvation. And Psalm 127:1, now we're going to kind of share. Di got onto it, and Sister Virginia and Sister Tara, they all were right on the button there. 127:1, "Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it." That's all I need to read there. It's vanity without the Lord doing it. Amen? I think one of them said that. It's not about the fancy programs or the fancy buildings. It's about the power of God that lives inside of those buildings. And not every church in this town operates in the power of God. We hope to see that. I hope to see where whatever denomination, they either have to fold in with it or they'll get out and allow somebody to come in that will move in the power of God. It's amazing how many pastors in this city have visited our church over the years. You know, and I don't want to go to mentioning names, but several of them. I will say this. One day I was at a football game on a Friday night in the old stadium there, Fred Morrill Stadium, and there at the junior high school. And I sat down. I had a couple of guys with me, and I saw Pastor Steve Patterson from the Baptist Church over on Barron Road. He said, "Well, hey, Pastor, how are you?" I said, "Hey, brother, how you doing?" He said, "Well, did you know you're my pastor?" I said, "No, I didn't know that." He said, "Well, I watch you on TV, and you're feeding my soul." And I said, "Oh, man, that's awesome." And then Pastor Bruce Underhill, who just had a slight stroke, but he's recovering. He's back in the pulpit last week. He told me, "You're my pastor." You know, I don't want to be out of line, but I think one day he told me, "It's like you're my spiritual father." And so there are pastors that recognize the power of God. I'm not bragging on myself, but there are pastors that are hungry for more of what the Holy Spirit wants to release in their congregations. And so I applaud them for allowing God to move in their midst. And I won't even go there because I'd just get myself in trouble or get them in trouble. I don't want to do that. But statement three, it's a waste of time to build the church without God being the contractor. You're just building man's sepulcher. You're just building man's image. But when the Holy Spirit is involved and the Lord's doing something, like these ladies said, they testified to it, and they're our intercessory prayer group. They are interceding to see this come about. And I have tenaciously held on to the horns of the altar because I know what's coming, and I know that it's on its way. I feel it in my bones. And that's why I even told my eye doctor there when I went to the visit on Friday. I said, "You know, I had a vision." And I said, "I don't know if you're a spiritual man." He said, "Yes, I'm a spiritual man." I said, "Well, I don't know if you believe in visions, but I had one." And I asked God 3.5 years ago, before Dave and I went to Mexico, I said, "Hey, Lord, what's going on? I'm starting to feel old. And I want to know, am I going to miss this? Has the window already closed for me to see this vision happen that you showed me? Or is the money real? Is it coming?" And I said, "Give me a gold filling." You've heard me tell this story. But I was telling the eye doctor this story. I've already told two dentists in town this story. They just kind of shake their head like, and then I show it to them. Of course, they got into my mouth. They saw it. I said, "I didn't pay for any gold tooth. I don't even know how much gold is in there, what it's worth. I don't want to know. I might be tempted to pull it out of there and go sell it." You know? But no, I'm not giving up my gold tooth, folks, because the Lord answered me. I prayed that on Saturday evening. Dave and I flew out on Sunday, and we arrived that night. And on Tuesday morning, that dentist that I went to see about this bridge on the upper and lower, because he's a pastor friend of ours, and he does free work for me if I go down there. And who can pass up a freebie? And they have good technology there too. Well, at the end, a week later, when he was finished and I was going to fly out the next morning with Brother Dave, he gave me that mirror, and I looked and I saw that gold crown in the back of my mouth. I said, "Oh my goodness, I'm beside myself. You know, this really happened. God, the vision is going to happen. Lord, hallelujah. There's going to be a tremendous outpouring. And yes, there's going to be enough money to pay for it." Isn't that awesome? And so I don't ever question the Lord about the vision anymore. I don't question, is it going to happen? I do question about, "Lord, that was 3.5 years ago. How about putting fast forward on? Let's speed it up just a little bit." You know, it might be nice to speed it up. But you know what? It's a waste of time to try to do it yourself. I'm not saying don't do anything. Do what you're led to do and minister in the gifts that he has given you, but don't try to go make something happen by the flesh, because it's a waste of time. In 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9, it says there, for we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, you are God's building. Wow. You know this is a field here? And Poplar Bluff is a field. Now, there's a man, I won't say his name, but he owns a bank. He may be passed away now, but he owned one of the banks in town, and he owned, I don't even know how much farmland. I think Brother Sherman would probably know who I'm talking about. I mean, hundreds of thousands of acres, I think. He ended up living in Florida, but I mean, it's just unbelievable. But God wants to give us more field, and he wants us to realize that we are his building. That's why in the New Testament, Paul said, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, let me explain that. Tabernacles were able to be packed up and moved around, okay? But because God, he has places that are temporary. Like I said, there were some visitations of revival. But you know what? When he said your body is the temple, you know what that means? A temple is a permanent deal. Yeah, Adam, that your body being the temple, you are a permanent place for God to habitate. And when you become born again, the Holy Spirit rolls in and he fills you up. Well, he habitates you. Now, you know, we can make mistakes, but it's hard to stay in the mistake land, because what happens is the Holy Spirit's living in you. If you do something wrong, what's he going to do? He brings conviction. And then you feel bad and you feel sorrow. And so what do? You come back and say, oh God, I'm sorry. I know I'm human and I make a mistake. But you come to God, to his throne boldly, and you can obtain grace and mercy because of a mistake. But you're not to live there. You're not to stay in transgression, and you're not to develop iniquity, and not to become a lifestyle of sin. And that's where people err. They fall into iniquity, and the devil beats them up so bad they don't think they can get out of it. They don't think they can become what God's called them to be. And so sometimes they kind of give up, and then their life becomes a life of sin when they've been touched by the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit, you can grieve him and you can quench him. You know, I mean to tell you, read the book of Hosea, because that's a picture of God going after the backslider. Because he had bought him a wife and she backslid and he still loved her. God still loves people even when they backslide. He still wants them. He wants to bring them in to his fullness. And if they could ever realize how much God loves them and how much power lives in them, they would not be able to stay the same. They would have to change. And that demonstration would take place. Statement 4, you must be God's building. You are the temple of God, the temple of the Holy Spirit. Yes, you are. In Matthew 16, and we know this passage, 13 through 19, it's where Jesus asked the disciples, and they were at Caesarea Philippi there by the water, and there was a cliff there where there was an opening, a cave, where they would go up and sacrifice humans to the god Moloch. And let me just ask you, are y'all very naive, or do you know that even today, there are devil worshipers, and there are people that are making human sacrifice unto Moloch? They're still doing this today. You ever heard of human trafficking and children being snatched up and missing? Well, I'm going to tell you what. This is an evil world, and there are those who are human trafficking for the purpose, and of children especially, to get their blood. And these people practice horrific acts of drinking blood and eating flesh. I won't even go there anymore, but I'm just letting you know. Jesus asked the disciples, because here they are next to a devil worshiping place, where they got these little statues and these little cutouts by the cave on top of the little cliff. Well, I've been there. I've been to that place. You can walk up. You ever been to big springs and you see where the water's coming out the ground? And yet there's a place you can go up and you can climb up higher and overlook the spring and the flow of the water. Well, there at Caesarea Philippi, you can walk up these stone steps and go all the way up to the cave. And that's where Jesus said the gates of hell, or Hades, would not prevail against his church. That was what he was talking about. You know, the sacrificing to the devil cannot prevail against the power of Jesus Christ and his church. It's an awesome picture. But some said, some say John the Baptist, Elijah, others, Jeremiah, or one of the other prophets. And he said to them, but who do you say I am? Because, see, they were in relationship with him. They knew him. So I'll ask you, who do you say that Jesus Christ is today? And he says, and Peter said, Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. See, and that's why religions like Mormonism and different ones, they are not the same Christianity brand, because they believe Michael, the archangel, came down and became Jesus on the earth. Not so. That takes away the deity of Jesus being a part of the Godhead. See? So that religion is off the mark. And I don't mind saying so. If some of them come in here and they want prayer, I'd pray over them. I think God would help them. But, and I'm not here to cast stones. There's some really good people in that religion. But the reality is Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. You cannot take that away from him. He is not an angel. He is not Michael the archangel come down to play a part so that we can have a religion. Sorry, it's not true. And he said, Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Hallelujah. The Father owns the bank of revelation, and he can release it to you at any time. And I also say to you that you are Peter, a little rock. And on this rock, Jesus Christ, the cornerstone, I will build my church and the revelation of who he is, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. The gate of hell cannot stop us. We are going to go forward and rescue people. 19, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Wow, grab your keys today, because God's got them for you. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. That's why when we pray for people, we bind what the devil's trying to do to them, and we loose them by the anointing and power of Almighty God, and they can be set free completely. They certainly can. Statement 5, we must get the revelation of the Son of God for him to build his church. He said, I'll build my church on this rock, this revelation of who he is. Man, I tell you what, you get that revelation of Jesus the Christ, the chief cornerstone, the living Son, the Son of the living God, the most holy one. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And like Pastor Ken told me, he read that the King of Kings and Lord of Lords numerically comes out to 777. And the devil's number is 666. Well, guess what? 777 trumps 666 any day of the week. Hallelujah. I want to give you some quick points. Number one, not everyone in congregations are true believers. A lot of people go to church that are not true believers. They just, church is a good thing to do. Yeah, maybe I'll meet some new business contacts there. If I go to church, I'll go to the certain church because they have a lot of high people in it, and so on. Anyway, not everyone in the congregations around Poplar Bluff are true believers either. Not all believers are a part of a local church. There are a lot of people who really believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that have drifted away, and they're just not in a church anywhere. But they need to be. God is desiring them to come together, because when more of the believers that don't have a church come together, and I'm challenging any of them watching by YouTube or Facebook Live, that if you'll get in here and join with us, we'll build the fire a little bit bigger and a little bit hotter, and we'll see the power of God demonstrated even more. But we'll see. You know, number three, the kingdom of God is a family dynasty. They talk about dynasties. The New York Yankees winning so many titles in a row, or different ones. The Spurs or the Heat or different NBA teams winning so many. The Lakers or Celtics. Oh, that was a dynasty. That was sports. That wasn't no spiritual dynasty. That's just entertainment. But the kingdom of God is a family dynasty. How many of y'all are believers and born again? Say amen. Well, guess what? You are part of the family of Almighty God. Jesus is our elder brother. You are a member of God's family. And our family is the ultimate dynasty. It's no dynasty like the ones that were here on earth. Oh, well, we had the Bushes in office for so many years, or we had these or those. Although I am kin, probably Pastor Ken is too, I don't know. We're kin to John Adams' son, the third president of the United States, or fourth. Anyway, I used to teach civics, I should know that. But John Quincy Adams, we're kin to him. He was a stepson to John Adams, and he was adopted. And we are kin to him through our family lineage somewhere. Oh, man, we're part of a dynasty. No, that don't mean anything. We're kin to Davy Crockett, too, I think, somewhere, or Daniel Boone, I don't know. I think half of everybody's kin to Daniel Boone or somebody. But anyway, the family of God is the ultimate dynasty. There's nothing that can defeat our family. Our family is powerful. If we could ever have a true family reunion where people come together, and they all don't have to go to the same church building, but if we could ever be in unity together, that's one thing I'm thrilled about Zach's ministry. He is always joining people across denominational lines to come together for this worship, fresh water, once every 3 months. And he's always getting together with all these other pastors and talking to them. And some of them even ask him sometimes about what he believes about the Holy Spirit. And I'm so glad they do. But anyway, number four, Christianity has been infected by cultural values. We churchified Christianity, or culturalized it. And so, you know, we have lighting that's supposed to make it easier to see and a little more pleasing. Now, we don't have strobe lighting and smoke machines in here. And I hope never to go that far to where it looks like a discotheque instead of a church. But let me tell you, there's churches that do that. I've preached in a couple of them before, and it didn't make it any more exciting to me. I always have my eyes closed anyway when I'm worshiping, because I'm listening to the Holy Spirit and the music. I didn't come to see a show. I came to worship the Lord. And then when I get up to minister, they always turn all the lights back on, which I appreciate that. But, you know, we're not to culturalize Christianity. Now, you can use technical things to enhance and make things better. I'm glad we have a sound system that you can hear me well. But the church, the Christianity, has been culturalized. Oh, they want to say, oh, you know, people can't concentrate more than 22 minutes and 30 seconds, so don't make your sermon longer than that. Well, I can't even get out of my introduction hardly within 22 minutes. You know, that's almost impossible. But the point is, yeah, you are laughing because you know. What, is it already lunch? It is. It's lunchtime. You are probably looking at your watches right now. I'm almost done. I'm very close. But the fact is, people think that we got to be like the world. We got to connect like the world. And hey, if I was preaching to youth, that might be true. But I'm preaching to adults. You know, what do we need? Some commercials thrown in just to relieve you a little bit or something? I don't even watch TV that way anymore. I do mine on DVR, and then I push the hop thing on there so it hops over to all the commercials. I don't even have to press the button anymore, Pastor Ken. I can watch an hour program about 28 minutes, 26 minutes. Number five, the church cannot remain a small group but become a force of unified believers in relationship with others. In other words, it can't be me, mine, and nobody else. We need to embrace others. We need to include others. I like Sister Virginia's women's conference that she leads here at our church, God's powerhouse, because she invites others. Other people come from other women's ministries and so on. And I really enjoyed some of those ministers like Shirley Darnell. She's a character. Susan Hartle over at Bernie was excellent. I really liked her message. She's good. She's been a pastor's wife for many years. But they're from different ministries. I like that. And it's good. Tracy Mitchell was outstanding. Sister Ralphina's a hoot and a powerhouse too. I mean, she's a character. All these is enjoyable, but it pulls people together across the border. You know, it's just wonderful. And the summary is this: the church, which is God's habitation, must become unified in spirit, but you got to have faith, hope, and love in the center of it. You know, because if you don't show love to people, they don't care what you have to say. If you don't have faith, there's no power. And you got to have hope for faith to operate, because faith is the substance of things hoped for, but the evidence of things not seen. So you got to utilize faith to call it into existence, because God wants to do more than you can even ask or think. I mean, tremendous. Ephesians 4 tells us about that. And this is my final word. It says, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness and long suffering, bearing with one another in love. There it is. You got to have a humble spirit to where others can approach you, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And it goes on and on to say about one body and so on. But the fact is, he wants you to be in unity by the Spirit of grace. Amen? I tell you what. Hallelujah. Won't you stand with me this morning? Glory. Does anybody need a healing right now? I mean, you just really need a touch in your body. You're hurting. Somebody's in pain. Just a lot of pain. If that's you, if you'll come forward, I'm going to pray for you, and the demonstration of the power of God will hit you. It is? Well, come on down here, Adam. Well, you know what? They're all connected. So I'm just going to anoint you. Come down here, a couple of men with me that won't agree with me. Brother Sherman, won't you come down? Brother Dave, come down. We're going to agree with Adam right now. I'm going to anoint him with oil. And just grab my hand. That's a contract. We're in agreement right now.
Amos 3:3.
Yeah. But the word of God says, by his stripes we are healed. And it says in Isaiah 10:27 that the anointing destroys the yoke. And so whatever it is causing your back problems and your hip problems, we declare right now in the name of Jesus. Man, just put your hand right there on his back. Just put your hand on his back. We're agreeing, three of us, that God is touching you by his power right now. Lord, we thank you that this pain is going to leave Adam's body, that he is going to have liberty and freedom to do all that he needs to do. We command it to be so, and we just ask for things to be in alignment properly down his backbone, his spine, and those muscles and those bones and his hip and pelvis and along there around the base of his back, that whole area and where his hip and leg bones connect, that all the sinew and the muscles, the tendons and ligaments and cartilage just come into proper placement right now and healing take place. I don't know about you, but I felt a little something happening right there. In the name of Jesus Christ, hallelujah, from the top of his head, Lord, to the bottom of his feet. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. How do you feel? Move around.
Oh, it feels a lot better.
Amen. Did y'all hear that? He said it feels a lot better.
Amen. Yeah, it's like that spot right in the lower back, and it's just...
Well, just do this. Oh, yeah. He said much better.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you. Praise the Lord. Anybody else before we leave here today? Amen. Y'all might as well stay up here in case I need you. Anybody else want to touch in your body before we go? Sister Virginia? Or who? Alex? Alex, do you want prayer? You do or don't? Okay, we'll wait then. We'll let the Holy Spirit deal with him. Amen. Well, Lord, just allow Alex to feel at home and feel comfortable. When he's ready, we can lay hands on him and he can get a touch. Hallelujah. Anybody else, though, want prayer before we go? Sheila, come on. I still got a little oil on my finger here. It's shining. Yeah. She's been out sick, but you know what? She's back. Like Arnold Schwarzenegger said in that movie, I'll be back. Your niece? Okay. Tumors?
Nodules?
Where at? In her brain, okay.
It's like you know, debilitating, mm-hmm. Parkinson's and the other thing.
Okay.
And then also, I want you praying. I got an unspoken request for about four people. And I feel like if you touch me,
then you go and touch them.
That's right.
Well, Lord, I pray for her niece. Stand behind her, guys. Come here. Just stand with her in agreement. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, just put your hand on her shoulder there. In the name of Jesus, right now, we release the anointing that it will travel. What city is she in?
She's in Desark.
Desark. Well, there's no distance in prayer or the Word of God. You know, Jesus sent the Word and it healed. And so we do what Jesus would do. And we send the Word to Desark. Lord, dissolve those nodules that are trying to lodge in her brain and cause her to have Parkinson's and whatever. For we believe in healing right now, that you are healing her body. As we're laying hands on Sister Sheila, let her tell her, I felt something touch my head about this time, about 12:05. And Lord, we pray for those that she wanted other prayer for, whether they're sick or whatever's going on. We ask you to take the sickness away. And when she lays hands, that they'll see the evidence. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Well, lift your hands to the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, we glorify you and we praise you and we thank you that you are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, And we just thank you for the grace and mercy of Almighty God. And help us realize we're the head, not the tail. We're the blessed and not the cursed. We are the redeemed of the Lord, and we can say so. And we ask you to let us spread the word and let people taste and see that the word of God is good, that your mercy endureth forever. And be with us as we go to make a difference. In your name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Well, all right. I dismiss you to go eat.